ஓம் பத்ரம் கர்ணே விஷ்ணுயாம தேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஷ்யே மாக்ஷபிர்யஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கை ஏஸ்துஷ்டுவாகும் சஸ்தனூபிஹி விஷேம தேவஹி தம் யதாயுஹு ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்திரோ விருத்தஸ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந பூஷா விஸ்வவேதாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷ்யோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹி ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நம. ஹரி ஓம். மாண்டூக்கிய காரிகா அலாதசாந்தி பிரகரணம் ஸ்லோகா 73. யோஸ்தி கல்பித சம்வ்ருத்யா பரமார்த்தேன நாஸ்த்யஸௌ பரதந்த்ராபி சம்வ்ருத்யா ஸ்யான்நாஸ்தி பரமார்த்ததஹ. ஸோ கௌடபாதாச்சாரியா, ஹீ சேஸ் தட் த வேர்ல்ட் தட் வி எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ் ஈஸ் அக்செப்டட் ஆஸ் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ட் பிகாஸ் இட் இஸ் அவைலபிள் ஃபார் டிரான்சாக்ஷன் அண்ட் எம்பெரிக்கல் டிரான்சாக்ஷன் மித்யா வியாபகார ஆர் கல்பித சம்பிருத்தி. ஸோ இட் இஸ் அவைலபிள் ஃபார் எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ் டிரான்சாக்ஷன் அண்ட் ஹேஸ் யூட்டிலிட்டி ETU. Based on the availability in this manner, we conclude that the world is existent. And the aim of Vedanta is what? The aim of Vedantic inquiry is to determine whether this conclusion is correct or not. So when an inquiry is made, it is found that every object is nothing but nama and rupa, name and form. And the objects do not have any substance of their own. So any object can be reduced to fundamental particles and further analysis does not reveal anything substantial. Thus the world is given the status of mithya. It has empirical value but does not exist as a substance. But without inquiry, most people conclude that there is a substantial thing called world, which is an unfortunate blunder. So Gaudapada Acharya points out that this mistake is made not only by lay people, but in the vision of many systems of philosophy, the same mistake is made after long inquiry also. World is existent from the standpoint of lay people and confused philosophers. But inquiry based on Shastra Pramanam will reduce entire world into Nama and Rupa. So if everything is Nama Rupa, then what is then the substance? Vedanta says that the substance will never be found by any amount of inquiry. Probing both at the micro and macro nama rupa levels, one can never come across that fundamental substance. So Gaudapada Acharya says, this is so because ultimate truth or essence is what? Is the inquirer himself, Atma itself. So once the essence is named Atma, then it can be construed as another Namarupa. Thus the essence Namaru Atma cannot be given a name, because if it is done, a corresponding concept about Atma will arise. This is very intricate. One must be careful. Once the essence is named Atma, then it can be construed as another Namarupa only. So, no name for Atma is possible. So, if no name is used, how can the Guru teach Atma? Words have to be used for communication. Without the words pointing to a Rupa, thus a word is used for description of Atma and is later withdrawn. It is like using a thorn, for example, to remove another thorn and later throwing away the thorn. So words are used in the teaching and later they are withdrawn. This is the message that Gaudapada Acharya is trying to give. So only from the standpoint of other darshanas, the world is a substance, not from Vedanta. So but the Vedantic teaching is that the world does not exist as a substance and it only exists as name and form. Now if you look at the shloka, Yaha asti kalpita samvrithya. This duality, which exists from the apparent empirical view, kalpita samvrithya, paramarthena asau na asti. it does not really exist. Paratantra abhisamvritya syat, it exists from the empirical view of the other systems, paratantras. Na asti paramartataha, it does not really exist. So that which exists because of an empirical outlook is not so from the standpoint of absolute reality. Anything that may exist on the strength of the empirical outlook as seen in other philosophies does not really exist. So Gaudapada Acharya clarifies that Mithyajativada and Ajativada are the same teaching that use two different terminology, seemingly born and really not born. That's what they are. Maya Jativada is seemingly born and Ajativada is really not born. That which is accepted as existent, seemingly for the sake of vyavahara, is samvritti, meaning worldly transaction. So if it is a Buddhist terminology, that, you know, that is a terminology that Gaudapada Acharya borrowed from Buddhist systems. The words that are used for worldly transactions like sunrise and blue sky, they do not refer to anything real. Even night, day, and names of places are transactional words. Use the empirical terminology, but do not be trapped by the words. The entire cosmos as existent is just a name for transaction, but does not really exist. But it is accepted as existent by two groups of people. Who are those people? The lay people, the non-philosophers. They go by the ETU factor and accept the word. And the second group is the confused systems of philosophy like Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Purva Mimamsa, and Visishtadvaitam, Dvaitam, some of those things where this is accepted, who make the mistake of accepting the world as existent. These are all Gaudapada Acharya's description. So from the standpoint of Advaitam, the world has appearance and has no existence. Shloka 74. Ajag kalpita samvrityam paramarthena natyajaham paratantra binishpantyam samvritya jayate tusaham. Kalpita samvritya, in accordance with the apparent empirical view, kalpita, ajaha, the self is said to be unborn. But paramarthena, from the standpoint of the highest reality, na api ajaha, it is said to be not even unborn. For what is birthless, paratantra abhi nishpatya, in accordance with the empirical view arising out of other systems of philosophy, it is said to be so because saha, that thing, jayate, undergoes birth, samvritya, as a matter of experience. Therefore, even the imagination that the self is birthless does not pertain to the absolutely real entity. This is the idea. See, even the imagination that the self, Atma, is birthless does not pertain to the absolutely real entity. So the entire world is non-substantial and is only Nama Rupa. For the same reason, Atma cannot be given a name, because otherwise Atma will fall into the realm of Namarupa. When a name is used, the mind will form some sort of a concept. Really speaking, Atma does not have a name. But for communication purposes, temporary names are used. The whole world is Namarupa and is continuously changing. Everything in our experience has a beginning and an end. So most philosophers think that Atma is also subject to change like worldly things. So a description is used for Atma based on the misconception it is changeful. That description is that Atma is changeless. That does not mean that Atma is a substance that has the attribute of changelessness. Careful. That descriptor is used to differentiate Atma from substances that are changeful. In some other systems, consciousness is said to have an origination. In Yogacara Buddhism, consciousness is born during the waking state and during sleep it disappears. According to this school, Atma is inert, is only matter. in Yogacara Buddhism. The mind is also inert matter, and in the waking state, Atma and the mind combine, resulting in the birth of consciousness. In sleep, the contact between Atma and the mind is disrupted, and consciousness is lost. To counter this contention, Vedanta describes Atma as unborn, changeless, without attributes and all that. So these are all descriptors used for communication and are not attributes of the Atma. We should be careful. From the standpoint of worldly transaction, Atma, from the transaction of worldly transaction, from worldly standpoint, Atma is temporarily called unborn. From its own standpoint, Atma cannot be called unborn. From the standpoint of expressions used by other darshanas, it is said to be subject to birth, and so Vedanta says that Atma is unborn. That is the reason. Because other darshanas say Atma is subject to birth, but Vedanta says it is unborn only from that point of view. It is like calling a vessel that has nothing in it as an empty vessel. Emptiness is not an attribute of the vessel, but that word is used to differentiate it from other vessels that contain something. All descriptions of Atma are used from the standpoint of Mithya Namarupa, and from its own standpoint, there are no descriptors for Atma whatsoever. So Atma is not unborn also. Shloka 75.
Abhuta abhivi niveshosti dvayam tatra na vidyate dvaya bhavam sabudvaiva nirnimitto na jayate dvayam tatra na vidyate.
There is no duality in that consciousness, tatra, in that consciousness. There is no duality.
Abhuta abhi niveshaha asti.
There is only an obsession with the unreal duality. Therefore, saha, he, na jayate, does not undergo birth also. He refers to Atma.
Budhva dvaya abhavam.
Having known budhva, what? Having known what? The non-existence of duality, abhavam of dvayam. Nirnimittaha, being free from its cause. Nimitta refers to the cause. Being free from its cause, it is causeless. So, by pointing out that the world is only Namarupa and not a substance in itself, Vedanta is not rejecting the world. The world is available for transaction, for experience, and above all has utility. So, this Mithya Namarupa world has all varieties of things and experiences. And by all means, this world should be used. While utilizing the world, its status should be remembered. If not, the Namarupa can become too overwhelming. Our body mind is also another Namarupa only. One can get lost in the personal Namarupa, family Namarupa, and the world Namarupa, and all these can affect the person adversely. It is like our own dream overpowering our own mind. The whole Namarupa world is a projection of I, the Turiya Atma. I should not get obsessed with any particular thing of the world. I should remember my higher nature every now and then. I told you, this Thayi Bhava, if you remember. So, obsession caused by attachment or aversion can cause problems. So, if you remember the fifth capsule of Vedanta, by forgetting my real nature, I convert life into a burden. And by remembering my higher nature, I convert life into a blessing. So avoid obsession with anything. In Viveka Chudamani, Shankaracharya describes this obsession with the world. Vishaya anuchinta. Repeated thinking, anuchinta. Repeated thinking about an object, person, or even event. Thinking about this is okay. But obsession should be avoided. So, Gaudapadacharya uses the word abhutabhi nivesha to describe this type of obsession with the past, present and the future. Whether it is for people, circumstances, whatever. So, everyone is obsessed with one thing or the other to such an extent that it becomes a huge burden. But objects of obsession are only Namarupa. As a thing, world is not at all there. Liberation is using the world without obsession. The sign of obsession is the continuous preoccupation of the mind. The result of which is that the whole world is carried within one's mind. So Krishna gives an instruction in Bhagavad Gita as to what one should do before meditation. Chapter 6.
Prashantamanasam henam yoginam sukamuttamam upaiti shantarajasam brahmabhutam akalpakam.
May you keep the external world outside. Why does Krishna say this? Because the world is not only outside, but more than that, it is very much inside me. We are carrying every person and thing in our mind. Do what you have to do and do not carry too much in your mind. This is Jnani's operational mode of life. Having understood the absence of duality other than Namarupa, the Jnani transcends all the causes of samsara. Therefore, the Jnani is free from the cycle of birth and death. In Shloka 75 to 79, Gaudapada Acharya talks about the benefit for a person who has received and assimilated the teaching presented in all these shlokas. This is abstract and the highest teaching of Vedanta. First, the nature of mithya world needs to be assimilated, which does not have existence or origination, but it has an appearance that is due to ignorance or maya. These 4 points should be thoroughly assimilated and there should be conviction. Then the next step is that if the entire world is mithya, it requires an adhishtanam, because the world appears with borrowed existence. The statement that mithya world appears should be understood as the world appearing with borrowed existence. That requires that there should be a lender of existence. And that lender is whom? That lender is myself. Jagat mithya, aham satyam. The I here is not the body or the mind, because they are part of the mithya world. The I is the Sakshi Chaitanyam, the witness consciousness that lends existence to the entire world, including time and space. I am not located in any place. I am the Turi Atma, not located in any place, but rather everything is located in me. I am the Turiya Atma. Gaining this knowledge is moksha, which is freedom from the cycle of birth and death. So this freedom is explained in 2 ways. So for junior students, the explanation is what? I am a jiva. I have got 3 types of karma: Sanchita karma, Prarabdha karma, Agami karma. I have taken several births and now I am a human being by birth. Because of jnanam, all my Sanchita karma has been destroyed. Agami karma is avoided and I am now spending my Prarabdha karma. So once all Prarabdha karma is exhausted, I will end my last birth and thereafter I will not be born. I was repeatedly born until now, but hereafter I will not be born. This is freedom explained for these junior students. So for the senior students, the first statement is what? I am a jiva should itself be rejected. And it is said that I am Brahman the Turiyam. I am neither a doer nor an experiencer, a karta abhokta. There is no karma and I have not gone through even a single birth. And so there is no future birth also. I do not accept the superior, medium or inferior karma leading to celestial birth, human birth and birth as lower beings. All this, you know, with lot of punya one is born as a deva, with mixture of punya papa as a human being, and with lot of papas one becomes a asura, whatever. So these things I do not accept, all of them. These karmas are mithya. They exist in me, the Atma, but do not belong to me. I am the Adhishtanam for the entire cosmos. And so the karmas float in me, but they do not touch me. The Vekar Adhishtanam is not affected by anything that the dream individual does. The waker is not associated with any karma done by the dream individual. So there is no question of exhausting of prarabdha karma because they are not there. Turiya Atma is understood to be liberated always. Atma does not have any past, present or future birth. Freedom of a jnani is uniformly available at all times. It is its very nature. In Advaitam, moksha is not even dependent on God's will because what is natural is not dependent on anybody's will. I need God's grace not for moksha, but to understand moksha is my very nature. Shloka 76. Yada nalabate hetun uttamadhama madhyaman tada najayate chittam hetvabhave phalam kutaha. Yada, when after realization of the self, nalabate, one does not find what? Hetun uttama adhama madhyaman. So uttama is the superior, adhama the inferior, and madhyaman, medium causes of birth. Tada, then, na jayate chittam. Conscious here, chittam is consciousness. Consciousness is not born, na jayate. Hetu abhave kutaha palam. How can there be effect when there is no cause? So Gaudapadacharya is explaining the cause of samsara here. Karma is cause of samsara. It is divided into superior, medium and inferior, all those things. So the jnani does not see any of these karmas because in his understanding, the whole world, including all the karma, is reduced to only nama-rupa without an existence of its own. The karma of the dream is seen to be only nama-rupa upon waking up. Similarly, in jagrat-avastha, in the waking state, all the laws of karma apply to the body-mind. And upon shifting the vision to that of the higher nature, Atma, they are seen to be only nama-rupa. So, when the karma is transcended from the standpoint of jnanam, the jnani says, I, the Atma, am never born. From the body-mind standpoint, the laws of karma are operational. But they are not operational from the Atma, the consciousness standpoint. The body-mind has to reap the consequences of karma. Only body-mind. Shloka 77. Animittasya chittasya yanutpattis samadvaya ajatasya iva sarvasya chittadrishyam hi tadyataha. Anutpattihi, the non-origination of animittasya chittasya, consciousness which is free from the cause of birth, animittasya. And sama advaya, which is constant without distinction, and absolute. And this state, ajatasya, belongs to the birthless, the consciousness, which alone, sarvasya, is in the form of everything, tat, all that, the duality, birth and all that, chittadrishyam, was an object of perception to consciousness, is eternal and that is absolute. He tatvata etaha, because that birth is indeed an apparent object of consciousness which is unborn. So this is the literal meaning. We have to see the description. So the birthlessness that consciousness attains, when freed from all the fear, be careful, consciousness attains and all should be inward commas. When freed from cause, is constant and absolute. For all this, there is the duality, birth and all those, was perceptible to consciousness that has been birthless and non-dual ever even before. So there is nothing like newly something is acquired. So the consciousness principle is not the cause of samsara. Atma does not have birth or karma. Absence of birth for Atma is always the case. When ignorant, birth and death are taken to be real. After knowledge, birth and death are seen to be unreal for Atma. the presence of birth is imagination when ignorant, and the absence of birth is seen clearly with the vision of the knowledge that Atma is never born. It's after knowledge. Shloka 78.
Buddhva nimittatam satyam hetum pritak anatnuvan vitashokam tata kamam abhayam padam ashnute.
Buddhva animittatam satyam, having known buddhva, causelessness to be the fact, anapunvan prithak hetum. Prithak hetum, not acquiring this separately any karma, which is a cause for birth. Ashnute padam, one attains the goal. What is that goal? Vita shokam tata kamam abhayam. He becomes free from sorrow, vita shokam, desire, tata kamam, and abhayam, and fear also. So, the topic of jnana palam is continued here. It is clearly understood that there is no cause. There is karma responsible for my past or future birth. Because what? Being unborn is my real nature. Moksha is that clear conviction in the intellect. Based on our experience, we have made certain false conclusions. Vedanta does not aim to change our experiences, but to change our wrong conclusions based on those experiences. I do not have birth or death, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. That should be a clear fact for me. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit nayam bhutva bhavita vanabhuyaha ajo nityaha shashvatoyam puranaha. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. This self is never born, nor does it die. It is not that having born it ceases to exist again. It is unborn, eternal, undergoes no change whatsoever, and it is ever new. When the body is destroyed, the self is never destroyed. Chapter 2. So the greatest benefit of this, what is that? That all the complaints regarding life, they will go away. Freedom from complaint is moksha. In mithya world, changing situations are present. Caused by desha, kala, karma, they will always be there. Don't resist them. Nobody can stop that because it is the nature of the mithya world. It is not worth complaining. Complaining that fire is hot and ice is cold, what does it display? It displays only a confused outlook. The jnani knows that nothing is worth complaining about. The greater wisdom is that all these things happen, but I am the Adhishtanam, continues to be unaffected. This twofold awareness removes complaint from life. So complaint is samsara. I enjoy freedom from all types of binding desires. So desires from the relative role standpoint are no more binding. I am only a contributor and not a controller. Very difficult to accept. We all want to be always drivers. Desires that cause anxiety and fear are not present. Freedom from the sense of insecurity, they all come. So, complaint and sense of insecurity are signs of samsara. Anatma is never secure and Atma is never insecure. Working for Anatma's security and working for Atma's security are both meaningless. Freedom from sorrow, desire and fear is moksha. Thus, moksha is discerned from our own state of mind. Shloka 79.
Abhuta abhinivesadhi sadrishe tat pravartatem vastva bhavam sabudvaiva nisangam vinivartatem.
Abhuta abhinivesaha. So it's a conviction that duality exists even though there is no such thing. It is a delusion caused by ignorance. Tat, that consciousness which imitates the unreal. Pravartate, it engages, sadrishe, in a similar thing. Therefore, saha, anyone who realizes the non-existence of objects within duality, nisangam, he his consciousness becomes unattached to it, nisangam. Vinivartate turns back from object, which are mithya. So, indeed, that consciousness engages in a similar field of duality because of the obsession with the unreal duality. So, having known the absence of objects alone, he turns away with detachment. So, security is my very nature. But when I do not understand this as a fact, I think that it is a thing available outside. I think security is available outside. I seek completeness from outside. Outside only mithya world is there. And it cannot give completeness or security to me. I assume that objects outside will make me full and complete. In each mithya object, I seek the non-existent thing. Just like a deer looking for mirage water, we are looking for completeness that the society prescribes. This goes on for the entirety of my life. Because of obsession with external security, completeness and happiness, which are really not there, a person runs after those non-existent destinations throughout life. This is similar to a musk deer that runs all over seeking the fragrance of the musk, not realizing that the fragrance is its own body, from its own body. But a jnani knows that he is the only source of security, peace and happiness. Having understood the absence of external security, peace and happiness, the jnani drops all attachments. Krishna refers to in the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter again. Prajaha adiyada kaman sarvan partha manogatan atman yevatmana tushtaha tidapragnyastadochyatem sitapragyaha. So, when a person gives up all the desires as they appear in the mind, happy in oneself, with oneself alone, O Partha, that person is said to be one of ascertained knowledge, siddhaprajna. So you can do the duty towards the family. But if you postpone completeness and fulfillment, thinking that only after completing that duty you will become full and complete, you are getting into a trap. Know that you are full and complete fundamentally. And enjoy doing the duty without connecting your fullness to the performance of your duty. The successful completion of the duty is not in our hands. We may succeed or we may not succeed. Know that you are full and complete and enjoy playing whatever roles you have to in your life. Such a person withdraws with detachment. Shloka 18. Nivrittasya pravrittasya nischalahita dastitihi vishaya sahi buddhanam tatsamyam ajamadvayam. So nivrittasya, of the consciousness that had desisted from objects of duality, nivritti, and apravrittasya, not in other objects because of understanding of their absence, apravrittasya, nischala sthitihi, a state of motionlessness, the very nature of Brahma, nischala. Tada, at that time, he is a vishayaha. Since this, that is objects of vision, buddhanam, to the wise people, tat, that state of consciousness, is samyam, it is equanimous, ajam, advayam, birthless, ajam, and advayam, non-dual. So at that time, the state of that consciousness, which is withdrawn from existing activities and not engaged in fresh activities also, is indeed undisturbed. It is of the nature of Brahman, which is uniform, unbound and non-dual. That is just the meaning of the shloka. So this is indeed accessible to the wise people only. This buddhanam refers to the wise people, jnanis. So such a jnani of wisdom, who does not seek security and happiness from outside, but plays his role in society, enjoys a state of mind very difficult to describe. Such a mind without worry, without anxiety, is like a peaceful ocean even if he is a householder, he doesn't have to be a sannyasi. He can be a grahastha sannyasi, a person who is a jnani, being a grahastha also. So Krishna describes such a jnani in the Bhagavad Gita, again, second chapter. Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kama yam pravishanti sarve sashanti mapnoti na kama kami. Actually, in our Bhagavad Gita discussion, we spend a lot of time on these shlokas. So just as water flows into the ocean that is full and still, so too this wise person into whom all objects enter gains peace, remains unchanged, whereas the desirer of objects does not gain peace at all. He has withdrawn from seeking completeness from outside, this jnani, and does not seek anything externally for completeness at all. He is not to be pulled into samsara by situations and people, relationships, who are all ajnanis. Action, planning, execution, they are all okay. He will do all of them. But worrying is never required to be a responsible person. Krishna characterizes worry as an asuri sampat in the 16th chapter. Even as a karma yogi, worry is not warranted because all actions are dedicated to Ishvara, Ishvara arpana buddhi. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, third chapter again, Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutvam yujyaswabhika dhajvaraham. Offering all actions unto me with a mind that is discriminating, fight without any expectations, so Arjuna, without possessiveness and without anxiety. Withdraw from worry and never enter into worry again. The state of an anxiety-free mind is available only for a jnani. Jnani's mind can never be seen or evaluated. Only a jnani can know. That state of mind is called Brahmi Stitihi, second chapter. It is identical to Turiya Atma. It is ever uniform, never subject to arrival and departure, and it is non-dual. That state is identical to Brahman. Shloka 81.
Ajam anidramma swapnam prabhatam bhavati swayam sakrit vibhate he vaisha dharmo datu swarupa swabhavataha. Ajam anidram aswarupam aswapnam. This atma is indeed ajam, unborn, anidram, sleepless, aswapnam, dreamless also. Prabhatam bhavati swayam. It is effulgent by its own very nature. Eshaha dharmaha. This entity called the self is sakrit vibhataha, always shining. It is ever effulgent. Dhatu swabhavataha. By the very nature of the thing, the self. The swarupam of Atma, Brahman and Moksha are one and the same. So Gaudapadacharya reminds the nature of Atma given in this definition of Atma in the 7th mantra of the Upanishad, if you remember. So ajam anidram aswapnam. Atma is without birth. This is with respect to the gross body. So Atma is without birth. Atma is not Vishwa or Virat. And Aswapnam, to the Atma not being associated with dream or the subtle body, Atma is not Taijasa. If you remember this Vishwa, Taijasa, Pragya and all those definitions we have given earlier. And Anidram, Atma not being associated with sleep also. So Atma is not Pragya or Antaryami. Atma is self-evident and self-effulgent. It is self-revealing as I am, aham, 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 all the time. Even the mind has to be revealed by myself only. Look at that. First, I lend the consciousness to the mind. Through the mind, I lend consciousness to the sense organs. And through sense organs to the body. So the third capsule of Vedanta, if you remember, by my mere presence, I lend life to the material body and mind. And through the material body and mind, I experience the material universe. By myself, I am neither the material universe, nor the material body, nor the material mind. Atma is said to shine once because it shines eternally. Atma always shines as what? As I am, Aham. In Dakshinamurti Stotram, Shankaracharya refers to the eternal Atma. Balyadishvapi jagradadishutatam sarvasvavastasvapim pyavrittasvanuvartamanamahamityantaspurantam sadam swatmanam prakati karoti bhajatam yo mudraya bhadraya tasmai shri guru murtaye namayidam shri dakshinamurtaye. I bow to the Dakshinamurti in the form of my guru. I bow to him who in his loving kindness reveals to his worshippers the eternal Atma, which though the changes of waking, dreaming and dreamless sleep through childhood, youth, maturity and old age persists as the inexhaustible flow of consciousness, revealing itself in the heart as the ever-present sense of I, Aham. We never get moksha, but only drop the notion that we are bound. We never get moksha. We drop the notion, we are bound. Shloka 82. Sukham avriyate nityam, dukham vivriyate sadam, yasya kasya cha dharmasya, grehena bhagavanasau. Asau bhagavan, that non-dual self, sukham avriyate, it is easily covered. Covered by what? Grahena, yasya, kasya, cha dharmasya. By the eagerness to grasp, because of the false perception in the reality of an object, it is dukkham vivriyate, it is uncovered or revealed with difficulty. Dukkham, with difficulty, it's not easy. So because of the perception of one object or the other, this Atma is easily covered at all times. And it is known at any time with only difficulty. So Gaudapada Acharya gives a warning to all the Vedantic students by pointing out that through Shravanam and Mananam, Vedanta can be grasped, but by a reasonably mature mind. Receiving the teaching is not difficult. But what is more difficult and important is not mere reception, but retention of the teaching is possible only through Nididhyasanam, an alert life. And we also talked about earlier, two types of Nididhyasanam. Samadhi Abhyasa Rupa Nididhyasanam, in which exclusive time is allotted to dwell on the teaching. If that is not required, it can't be dropped. And the second type is Brahma Abhyasa Rupa Nididhyasanam. That should be engaged in. This involves practice that makes the knowledge available in and through all transactions I engage in. Transaction is not uniform because it is controlled by karma. If you lose alertness, the dualistic world, just as an appearance, will appear real. Getting lost in the appearance will convert the mithya world into satyam, or the satyamai into mithya jiva. Once stopped from the state of knowledge, it will be difficult to get back. So Gaudapada Acharya gives a strong warning. The essential nature of Atma is easily covered or forgotten. So if you remember the fifth capsule of Vedanta, by forgetting my real nature, I convert life into a burden. By remembering my real nature, I will convert life into a blessing. So Gaudapada Acharya says that forgetfulness of one's true nature is very easy because there are challenges coming from all directions. Coming down from the absolute to the empirical is a downhill process which easily happens. But climbing from the empirical to the absolute is an uphill task. This forgetfulness happens regularly. And once slipped, recovery is very difficult. Additionally, worrying and feeling guilty over slipping down is a greater samsara. It's a meta-samsara, like metaphysics. It's a meta-samsara. For this slipping, the entire dualistic world is not normally responsible. But just one object of attachment or hatred is enough. Because that object of like or dislike will be raised from the mithya level to the satya level. It is like one mosquito inside a mosquito net that is sufficient to ruin one's sleep. Any object, however small it might be, can trick a person into samsara. Perception of objects or people is not the problem, but it is the obsession with them causing preoccupation in the binding duality. So even a sannyasi is not immune to this, because the problem is in the mind. This way, Atma is covered. So when we say Atma is covered, this is how Atma is covered. So Gaudapada Acharya uses the word Bhagavan for Atma in the shloka. He has consistently negated everything anatma, and so Ishvara, considered as a remote being, has also been refuted by him. Those who think of Ishvara as a powerful remote being will be upset with Gaudapada Acharya. Gaudapada Acharya does not negate Ishvara, but only the idea of Ishvara as anatma. For him, Ishvara is what? Shantam, Shivam, Turiyam, Atma. He reinstates Ishvara as Atma. That is why Lord Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita also, 10th chapter, Aham Atma Guda Kesha Sarva Bhutata Yastitaha Aham Adischa Madhyancha Bhutanamanta Yevacha. Guda Kesha, O Arjuna, I am the Self, the Atma who resides in the hearts of all beings. And I am the cause of the creation, sustenance and resolution of all beings and things. Until we understand Bhagavan as Atma, Bhagavan is considered as Anatma. Shloka 83. Asti na atyasti nasti thi, nasti nasti thi vapunaha, chalasti robhaya bhavaihi, avrunotyeva balishaha. Another kind of a little complex shloka. Asti nasti asti nasti iti nasti nasti iti vapunaha. Asti na asti. Asti, it is existent. Na asti, it is non-existent. Asti nasti, it is existent and non-existent. Like the Jainas, all those people. Or others say, na asti, it is totally non-existent. They hold such views. Balishaha, the indiscriminate people, avrunoti, they very much they cover this Atma. Chala sthira ubaya abhavaha. By attributing change, changelessness. Chala is change, sthira is changelessness, both ubaya. Change and changelessness are abhavaha, non-existence. So all these things are all being attributed. So any Atma, thing or being, small or big, that we have like or dislike towards can bring us down from our essential absolute nature, raga dvesha. So Gaudapada Acharya says that this anatma that brings one down need not be concrete or tangible. Attachment to intangible things like ideas, even philosophies can create samsara. Attachment to a philosophy can create samsara. Even abstract anatma like the other darshanas. And even Vedanta, if converted into a darshana, is anatma. And therefore it can cause samsara. Words like satyam, jnanam, anantam, they are not for describing some object called atma, but for pointing to me who is aware of this teaching. The description should help me claim that I am that description. The description is not a concept, but the description is myself. Satyam, jnanam, and anantam, etc., they are not concepts. Attachments to these as concepts of a philosophical system will result in conflicts. We are not learning to fight with anyone. Vedanta teaching is not to fight any system. We do not give satyam status to anyone to deserve quarreling with them. We should not get carried away by any darshana. This will cover our true nature. An advice that is given to the Vedantic student is what? Never argue with others. Shankaracharya says in Sadhana Panchakam, బుధజనై వాద పరిత్యజ్యతాం దుస్తర్కాత్ సువిరమ్యతాం. అండ్ నారద ఆల్సో సేస్ ఇన్ హిస్ భక్తి సూత్రాస్ దట్ ఆర్గ్యుమెంట్ మీన్స్ వాట్ ఈగో ఈజ్ ప్రిడామినెంట్ అండ్ దట్ విల్ మేక్ అస్ ఫర్గెట్ అవర్ నేచర్. సో గౌడపాదాచార్య హీ మెన్షన్స్ ఫోర్ దర్శనాస్ హియర్ విత్ డిఫరెంట్ ఐడియాస్ అబౌట్ అండ్ హీ యాస్ నాట్ టు క్వారల్ విత్ దమ్. సో అస్థి ఈస్ ది న్యాయ వైశేషిక సిస్టమ్ దట్ సేస్ దట్ దర్ ఈస్ అన్ ఆత్మ అస్థి దర్ ఈస్ వాట్ దర్ ఈస్ అన్ ఆత్మ అదర్ దాన్ బాడీ మైండ్ కాంప్లెక్స్. It is material in nature, it is all-pervading, it is many in number with attributes, raga, dvesha and all that. That is Nyaya Vaisheshika system. And Vedanta says that raga, dvesha belong to the mind. Nasti is Yogacara Buddhism. Nasti. It says there is Atma that is not different from Buddhi. The continuous flow of thought, we have seen these things in some form earlier. The continuous flow of thought is the Atma and it is named Kshanika Vijnana. We have used this term also earlier. Asti Nasti is Jainism. So Asti was done, Nasti is done. Now Asti Nasti is Jainism. That also is known as Anekantavada. There are three systems here we mentioned. So Anekantavada and Saptabhangavada and Syadvada. These are all three, just only for the sake of mentioning, we don't have to too much worry about it. So this system does not define anything precisely. Because according to this system, nothing can be defined precisely. This is Jainism. And anything can be defined in different ways, based on different outlooks. That is why precise definition is not possible. Nasti Nasti is Shunyavada. Asti Nasti is other, Jainism. Nasti Nasti is Shunyavada, Buddhism. That says nothing exists. Atma or Anatma, nothing is there. There is only Shunya. Vedanta does not join any of these systems. That Asti system, Nasti system, Asti Nasti system or Nasti Nasti system. So they all quarrel with each other. We do not claim Vedanta as one of the darshanas. Because if it is classified as another darshana, then there will be problem as with the other systems. Vedanta is a teaching that helps us understand our own nature. And it is not a system. If Vedanta is entered as a system, one will forget oneself. One will get into the arguments. Atma is subject to change according to Nyaya Vaisheshikas. The steady Nasti Bhava is held by the Kshanika Vijnanavadis. And the doubt Asti Nasti is held by the Jainas. Total non-existence is avoided, advanced by the Shunyavadis. So going around these different concepts, one will keep arguing, forgetting the Atma behind the arguments. Only argument. One gets lost into the argument and forgets what is behind the argument, namely the Atma. So all these covering itself, all these indiscriminate people, spiritually childish people, that's what he says, spiritually childish people cover their own higher nature. Covering itself is not a problem. We do this in sleep without causing problems. But covering makes one slip down into the low to a lower level, which is the cause of samsara. So Gaudapadacharya's message is what? That we should be alert all the time in our transactions. Shloka 84. Kotyas chatastrayetastu krahiryasam sadavrutaha bhagavanabiras prishtaha enadrishtasa sarvadrukha yetaha Chatashraha Kotyaha. These are indeed the four views. Chatashraha. Grahaihi Yasam. By constantly holding all of them, the Yasam, the Atma, by constantly holding on. Sada Avritaha is ever covered. Saha, he, that person, yena, by whom, drishtaha, realized, reality, asprishtaha abhihi, is untouched by these views. Saha, that jnani, sarvadrika, he is omniscient, he is the one who is truly enlightened. This is a little meaning. So there are four standpoints as mentioned before, asti, nasti, asti, nasti, and nasti, nasti. All systems will fall under one of these four. So Vedanta does not take any positions. A particular position means what? An idea. And therefore anatma. Ideas are anatma. Even Vedanta, after it has done that job, has to be dropped. Vedanta is also anatma. Once I have dropped my knower status through the study of Vedanta, Vedanta, which was a means of knowledge, should be dropped also. If a person forgets and holds on to any of the four positions, which was mentioned, asti, nasti and all that, the real nature of a person is concealed, it's covered. Life involves handling anatma, but obsession with it should be avoided all the time. From empirical level, Turiya Atma is not affected by any of these four different standpoints. Gaudapada Acharya uses the word Bhagavan to indicate the Turiya Atma here. Bhagavan is not any other Swami or anything, it is a Turiya Atma. A jnani having known that everything is Brahman and that he himself is Atma, that transcends all views like the screen for the world movie. Is not affected by different views and does not see the need to compete with any person or system. Brahmajnanam is Sarvajnanam. Shloka 85. Prapya Sarvajnatam Kritsnam Brahmanyam Padamadvayam Anapannadi Madhyantam Kimata Paramihate. Prapya, having attained Sarvajnatam Kritsnam, total omniscience, and Brahmanyam Padam Advayam, the non-dual state of Brahmanhood, which is Anapan Adi Madhyantam, free from beginning, middle and end, Kimataha Paramihate, what does he desire thereafter, afterwards what he requires. So the benefit of Jnanam is restated here, which is attainment of fulfillment. Normally, people have mixed conclusions about whether, you know, lives are success or a failure. No one can claim complete success at all levels of ahankara, as ahankara is there. Claiming one's higher nature alone will give the proper perspective towards the accomplishment at the ahankara level. Ahankara has limitations. Success and failure are unavoidable. For these to be insignificant, a person should claim the only significant thing, which is the Turiya Atma of Mandukya. Having attained this omniscience in the form of Brahman knowledge, which is that Brahman is the essence of all, and having attained the state of non-duality in the form of this knowledge, which is I am non-dual, in spite of the experience of duality in practical world, this jnani attains fulfillment. There can be temporary experiential non-duality, like in deep sleep. But permanent experience of non-duality is not possible. Only a jnani that knows that he is that Atma, that is free from the three gunas, is a Brahmana. Thereafter, whatever that person does is not done for fulfillment. He is ever free and full. He does not have any binding desires. That desires engaged in for fulfillment he doesn't have. He does not have any binding pursuits also. Fulfillment does not mean that a person should withdraw from action. Action should be engaged in without bondage. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, again chapter 3, Name Parthasti Kartavyam Trishulokeshu Kinchana Nana Vaptavyam Varta Eva Nakarcha Karmani. Partha, for me there is nothing to be done. In the three worlds there is nothing to be gained by me also, which is not yet gained. Yet I remain engaged in action. Shloka 86, we will complete with the shloka. Viprana vinayo heshaha shama prakrita uchyate dama prakritidan tatvat evam vidvam shamam vrajete. Viprana, for the wise people, vinayaha Shamaha Damaha Prakrita Uchyate. This is modesty, mind control, as well as sense control. They are all supposed to be Prakrita Uchyate, spontaneous. Prakriti Dantatvat, because of natural self-restraint, Evam vidwan, having known this way, shamam prajet, the wise person attains peace.
So here Gaudapada Acharya conveys an important idea about the conduct, the behavior or trait of a jnani. So before coming to jnanam and nishtha, he must have practiced many disciplines as sadhanas. At the karma yoga level, Lord Krishna has prescribed several sadhanas. For example, the 13th chapter, there is a list of amanitva, madambitva, mahimsa, shantihi, arjavam, acharya, upasanam, shaucham, all those things are there. 20 of them he gives. And again, the 16th chapter, another big list of 26, you know, abhavam, samshuddhi, all that thing he has enumerated. And in all the Vedanta texts, sadhana chatushtaya sampatti is highlighted. So all of them are started when the spiritual life starts. It is long and consists of karma yoga, upasana yoga, shravanam, mananam, and lifelong nididhyasanam, all of them. Karma yoga and upasana yoga are for preparation. Shravanam, mananam for attainment of jnanam. Nididhyasanam is for jnananishtha. So if a person has diligently followed all the sadhanas, all the virtues will be natural to him during nididhyasanam. He does not have to deliberately follow the virtues. They will be natural. Thus, a jnani is one who spontaneously expresses all or most of the virtues in practical life. Jnani will also work on making any virtue that is not natural become natural. He will do that also. A seeker should cultivate these values deliberately or have them spontaneously. At no point he is without them. Jnana Nishtha is a dharmic person spontaneously. Jnana Nishtha. From Vedantic angle, dharma or values is mithya also. People may misinterpret this teaching by thinking that once jnanam is obtained, dharma can be forsaken. Gaudapada Acharya warns there is no such concession at all. Transactional life should be governed by dharma, whether one is an ajnani, jnani, or a jnananishtaha. Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita also, even Bhagavan, when he takes an incarnation and comes to the empirical plane, cannot claim an exemption. Veda never makes Vedanta compulsory, but makes dharma compulsory. Whether one's purushartha is artha, kama, or moksha, dharma is the foundation upon which these pursuits should be engaged in. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. For the jnani, virtues, amanitvam, etc. are natural and they are effortless, spontaneous. It is not a blessing that Bhagavan has given him, but jnani has worked for them. Knowledge should make one humble. Jnani has sadhana. Sadhana traya sampati he has got, not chatushtha sampati. Because he has known that moksha is his swarupam. He doesn't have to go and attain it for a jnani. And thus he does not have mumukshutvam. He doesn't have to have. Thought discipline and sensory discipline have become natural to the jnani because of long practice. All kinds of thoughts will arise in the mind due to vasanas. They cannot be stopped. Because of jnanam and discipline, the jnani has the natural capacity not to entertain thoughts that are inimical to Vedanta. Thus, all the virtues are natural to the jnani or are in the process of becoming natural to him. In this manner, a wise person calms down in life and leads always a very peaceful, complete and fulfilled life. We'll stop here. Yo vedadav swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilina saya parasamaheshwaraha. Shri Krishna arpanamastu Narayana.